And we're going to talk this morning a little bit about the uncertainty of life. I guess that comes to my mind because we're here at TA Atlanta today, and the senior chaplain here, our team leader, is an electrical contractor here in Atlanta. He does, obviously, electrical work. His stepson worked with him, and a couple of days ago, at 36 years old, he had a massive heart attack and died. Totally healthy. Never had a heart problem. Just, as they say, dropped dead. You know, it's, and we know that could happen to anybody at any time. I mean, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? In fact, turn over in the Bible there to James chapter 4 on page 262. Let's look at some of the things that, page 262. The page numbers are there at the top of the page, I think. Anyway, it's James chapter 4 and verse 13. We'll be looking, there you go, James chapter 4, verse 13. We want to look at a couple of three places where the Lord references what I'll call the uncertainty of life, but yet the certainty of death. And death is something not to be feared. Amen? I mean, why should we fear? If we're born again Christians, we have nothing to fear, right? James 4:13 says this, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." Boy, that sounds like America, don't it? Make money. Let's make money. Verse 14, "Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Boy, that's putting us in the right perspective, isn't it? What is it? The Bible says man has 70 years, in other words, 70 years about. And James here says, comparing that to eternity, which never ends, it's only a mist. One version of the Bible calls it a vapor. In fact, Psalms 39:5 says life is but a breath. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? I mean, to think about it. Right. And you said you were 46. I'm 56. And even at that, we think we've lived a pretty good while. But according to eternity, if we put it in perspective, that's nothing. That's an instant. But he says here, why do we say what we're going to do, you know? And don't get me wrong, I really believe that God wants us to plan our life as if we're going to live 100 years, so to speak. Long time. However, we should live our life as if we're not going to live another minute. Now, the difference is spiritually be ready to meet Jesus at any time. Amen? I mean, being born again, ready to meet Jesus at any time. I saw a truck the other day and had a cross in the grill, got on my CV and my four-wheeler, well, six-wheeler actually, and I said, "I like that cross in your grill, driver." And he said, "Well, thank you." I said, "Are you a born-again Christian?" He said, "I think so," or "I hope so," or "I'm not sure," or something like that. And, you know, I thought to myself, now, eternity's a long, long time. In fact, I have a little saying, eternity is too long to be wrong. Think about it. In other words, if I hope I'm saved or born again, wrong. Think about that. Yeah, we need to be absolutely positively sure, right? I need to be, in my opinion, I need to be more sure of that than the fact that I'm standing here.
Right.
You know? And, of course, we're sure of that. We're looking at each other. We look around and see each other. But even more sure is that when I die, not if I die, but when I die, you know, whether it's today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, who knows, right? Or if Jesus were to come back, if he were to come back today, he'd be on schedule. He would not be early. Amen? And again, we don't know that. And it's not a threat kind of thing or fear, but we need to be ready. James here says, what is your life? It's just a mist or a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It said, let's go on, let's read. He said in verse 15, instead we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows to do the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. In other words, he's saying, don't brag about tomorrow. Don't brag about what you're going to do. And again, we're making plans. I'm setting up situations for my children and grandchildren financially. But I don't know that any of that will ever happen. And it wouldn't make me mad if Jesus come back today, to be honest. Got a lot of things I want to accomplish in this life yet. But to get to go to heaven, all of that don't amount to nothing. It's just to be with Jesus. That's what I want to do. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Should be page 175 in that little book. Romans chapter 5. And let's see, we said that life is so uncertain and death is for sure. Romans 5:12. Where did this death come from anyway? What caused death to start happening? Remember, for a moment, let's look back at the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve, created by God from the dust of the earth, right? From nothing. Must have been interesting. Now, we know our wives are beautiful. Amen? I do. After 38 years, I still believe she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
Inside and out.
Inside and out. And thank God for the inside. You know, because the outside is superficial. But imagine now, I've often thought of Eve, because God created her. She was not a product of two human beings with different physical problems or defects. She was created by God with his hands. She must have been a killer, knockout, woo, glory. And there was not even any sin then. She didn't inherit any sin. So she was beautiful inside and out, as you said, right? However, just like with us, God gave them a choice, right? Right? A free will, exactly. And he said, you can have everything here except that one tree. Now, what happens if we tell a child, you can have anything in this whole store except that one thing? That thing, that's right. And we're the same way, right?
But I believe maybe God put that there.
Yeah.
Probably to see how much they would...
how would respond. Yeah.
They would make them think of him.
Yeah.
Because if you give you everything like that...
Yeah.
...to have, and you keep eating everything, you probably never take a break to even think about him.
Yeah.
If he comes to you, I want to touch that, then you
perhaps
have to think
about him then. Perhaps that's right. Yeah. Well, let's look at where did Romans 5:12 will tell us where death come from, and Adam and Eve was involved in that. We can blame them. We always want to blame somebody. I mean, that's human. It says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, who was that? Adam, right? And death came through sin, or it says through sin. Death came through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sin. That's all of us, right? Every human being on earth. Verse 13 said, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. He's talking about Jesus. However, come in, brother. Thank you. Thank you for coming today. What he's saying here is, death reigned from the time of Adam through the time of Moses, is the illustration here, even for those that didn't sin. Now, what does he mean by that? It means that when we were born, we inherited sin in our life. Thus, he says here, death came through sin. in Romans 5:12, right? Mm-hmm. All right, well, that means we inherited death. In other words, my wife and I was driving down the road the other day, and I said something about if I knew I were dying or something like that, you know, and we don't know what we'd do. If the doctor said, go, it's over, kid. I mean, you know, it's over. And I've often thought, I fly sometimes, and I think, you know, as being a big mouth, I call it big mouth Christian that I am, bucket mouth, I'm at 35,000 feet, and the pilot announces, we're going to crash. And you know there's not going to be any survivors. I wonder what would go through our mind, you know? But I mentioned that to my wife the other day, and I said something about, if I knew I were dying, she said, you are. Just think about it. The minute we were born, we started dying. The uncertainty of life we're talking about here today simply means we don't know how much longer we're going to live. I don't care if you're an infant or 80, 90, 100 years old. We don't know. However, death is certain because sin came into the world through Adam, and we inherited that. We didn't have to do nothing except be born, you know? And we inherited that. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, or else he would have inherited the bloodline, right? Through the Father, through his earthly father. But he didn't have an earthly father, right? We know that. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Thus, Jesus he was not born in sin like we all are. He was pure, holy, and perfect. So anyway, but for us, none of us are perfect. Never will be. Because we inherited our sin nature from Adam, right? And I don't know about you, but it's something I have to deal with all the time. That old sin nature is always wanting to do something that ain't supposed to do. And as you said earlier, you made a reference earlier when we were talking about all the distractions in the world. And it seems like there's 100 distractions to every one good attraction, right? We're always, it's dragging us the wrong way. The Apostle Paul, that wrote the majority of the New Testament, even said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do or shouldn't do, he said, I find myself doing. What does he mean? He means that while we're alive on this earth, we're going to sin sometimes. However, let me qualify that by saying that does not make me a sinner. Now listen carefully, especially those on tape. Listen this out. A sinner is a person who sins habitually, according to the dictionary. He or she sins habitually all the time. They plan and plot sin. As I was telling a young man yesterday, I was sharing the word with him a little bit. They were doing, he was a mechanic doing some work on my boat for me. And I was telling him, you know, that sin comes easy because our nature would drive us to sin. But I remember before Christ, we'll say BC, we call it around here, before Christ, you know. I thought PTA meant party time already. You know, I mean, I'm sorry to say that. But it was the lifestyle that I was living at the time. But you know what? In December 1971, God set me free. He gave me a whole new life and began to change me in my nature. In other words, he began to help me get control over my nature. And I say begin because that takes a while. If you're born again, you immediately, if you died that second, the second after you repented of your sins, you go to heaven, right? But since we're living on earth, we got to learn how to live on earth. Repent means to turn around, by the way. We no longer go the places we used to go. And it's not because I can't. It's not because I'm afraid of it. It's because God gave me a whole new, better life, and I don't want it anymore. I can truthfully say. But now the first little while after I was born again, some of that stuff still was attractive. And I think all of us can say that in different areas. What was attractive to me was not to you, and vice versa, you know. The uncertainty of life, but yet the certainty of death. Romans 5:12, we just read, it tells us, that death is coming to every one of us because we're born with a sinful nature. However, being born again gives us the right, or not right, but availability, I guess you'd say, of going to heaven. We have the opportunity, that's the word I was looking for, the opportunity to go to heaven. In fact, Hebrews 9:17 says, just as man is destined to die once, what happens after that? He faces judgment, exactly. After death is going to be judgment. Now, if you're born again, you will not be judged for your sins in the past, because they're under the blood. Amen? However, he's going to judge me for what I've done after I was born again. In other words, what have I done with the life he gave me? How many times have I witnessed? Worst yet, how many times have I failed to witness? And if there's ever been a time, in fact, I had a message put together for this morning, I thought, about witnessing, and the Lord changed it. But how many times, you know, have we had the opportunity to witness somebody and didn't do it? For whatever reason. My excuse is I'm in a hurry. Live in a hurry, don't we? This is microwave society. We want it right now. And being in trucking, you're late when you start. You're already late. But, you know, if there's ever been a time when we as born-again Christians need to stand up and witness and be accountable to God and tell people about the Word of God and our personal testimony is now. We're running out of time. With all the hate and all the discontent and there's people out there that just keep that stirred up. And there's an old saying in South Georgia, if you stir stink, it just keeps stinking. You know, you can live in the past or you can put the past behind you. Paul said, forget those things in the past and look to the future. That's what everybody needs to do. People went through divorce or, you know, something bad happened to them in the past. And they keep looking back at the past and living there. We got to learn to put that behind us. Everybody on earth has been hurt by somebody sometime, somewhere. But we got to be able to put that back behind us. Let God deal with them. Amen. I have people that, you know, have shafted me and some of them was good friends. They got to deal with that, not me. Life is so uncertain. Turn over to John 10:10 with me. That's page 117, that little Bible there in the seat, neighbor.
This,
page 117. Page 117, John 10:10. You see, Satan wants you and me dead and in hell. He wants every person dead and in hell. That's why he's trying to keep those of us who are born again from telling somebody else about Jesus, because he doesn't want them to be saved. John 10:10, let's just read the first part. We're going to break this in half. The thief comes to do what? You see that? What does it say? The thief comes only to steal, kill. John chapter 10, verse 10.
Yes. Steal and kill and destroy.
Yeah. Does what? Read it again.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy.
Yes, it's his goal, it's his mission, it's his work to kill us and destroy us and to hurt us. In other words, he wants to steal our joy, get us aggravated, mad, upset, and all that. He's a master at that, right? Road rage today. Can you believe what's going on on the roads today? I mean, you know, people in my day, as they say, used to maybe shake their fist at each other. Now they blow each other's brains out. Wow. Man, cut somebody off and you don't even know you did. And here they come, you know. No respect for the law at all. Because America's drifted so far from God. And we're the Christian nation, and I use quotation marks there because we're supposed to be. You know, it's a funny thing mentioning that. And this is one of my little pet peeves I won't get on my soapbox today. But we have religious freedom in America, right? Unless you want to talk about Jesus. Think about it. It's hard to talk about any other ism, schism, any other religion, any other thing. But if you talk about Jesus Christ publicly, you're going to get in trouble. Like the schools can't do that. Now they won't take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. What happened to this freedom of religion that we're talking about? But now, you know, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about any other religion, and it's okay. Nobody ever said anything about any of that. However, if you want to talk about Jesus, and we really need to be doing that, because the real problem in that, like I started to say, if you want to talk about Jesus, somebody's going to sue you almost. But you know why we got here? Because we quit talking about Jesus. We as Americans allowed that to happen. People tell me, you know, to shut up and this, that, and other quite often on the CB. But I ain't going to. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. You know, if you can cuss and tell filthy jokes and all that, which we're free to do, right? Thank God for the freedom in America to talk about all this. But it's a funny thing. It's a sad thing that the homosexuals are coming out of the closet, so to speak. Gay rights and so on. Various religions coming out of the closet and publicly, you know, stating anti-God stuff, okay? Where's the Christian? They're going in the closet, it seems like. We're hiding somewhere. This is America. So because of the uncertainty of life, we need to be on the ball. We need to be making a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the Word of God. There's no more powerful message ever anywhere than what happened to you personally. In other words, not preaching a great message from a pulpit, but telling somebody personally, one-on-one, over coffee, whatever, this is what happened to me. See, they can't fight that. We could disagree even on what this Bible says. But when you tell me I was doing this and this happened to me, can't argue with that. So that's much more powerful than anything. And of course, in that, we're saying God enabled us to do it. It still amazes me. I was born again in December the 19th, 1971. What was that, 33 years ago about? It still amazes me today to think back at what happened. I mean, I didn't plan that, of course, you know. I tell you real quick, religion's a crutch and real men don't need crutches. I was John Wayne number two. Leroy Brown and all them stirred up into one. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you that you run across these people, and I just want you to know this, that God can and wants to set them free. And it's going to take somebody sharing the good news without criticizing them, without beating them down, without any accusations or criticism, just saying, listen, I was born again, you can be too. And, of course, some of them say, not after what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what you hadn't done. You know. However, if we have the opportunity to share with somebody and don't do it, suppose the blood's on our hands. Ugh. Think about that. You may be the only Bible they read, as that saying goes. In other words, you may be the only minister, quote, unquote, that they listen to. You say, I'm not a preacher. Well, if you take the P off that word, and you on tape have heard me say this 100 times, but if you take P off a preacher, what have you got? Reacher. And we're all reachers. Amen? Think about that. Nothing happens by coincidence. Let your company think that they sent you from point A to point B. But as a born-again Christian, we realize that God directs our paths, right? It says that in Psalm. God directs our footsteps or our path. In other words, God sent you to Chicago or to Atlanta or to Dallas or whatever for a divine purpose, and that was to witness somebody along the way or somebody there or both. But we got to be ready to share that. Now, we read John the half of this verse. Let's don't stop in the negative part for sure. John 10:10. You still there? It said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But look at the last part. Jesus speaking here. What did he say? I have come that they may have what? And have it how? To the full or fully or more abundantly. We don't just have life. We have it more abundantly or to the full. I like this version. It says to the full because abundant, that word abundant has been stretched to high heaven. In other words, some people think of abundant as a lot of money. For instance, you can have abundant life and not have a dime. Amen. Or you can have billions of dollars and not have nothing. And I've met some of them. I've met, and you've been around some. Maybe you're a company owner. I don't know. If a person doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life, they ain't got nothing. Pardon the grammar, but they ain't got nothing. They're hopeless without God. With Jesus, backing up to the first part, the thief trying to destroy us. The second part, Jesus said, I want to give you life. So we have hope. The certainty of death comes into play with the uncertainty of life. In other words, again, Jesus said, well, John 14, let's turn over there. We're not far from there. John 14, 1. Excuse me. John 14, 1. He said there in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. In John 14, page 123 in the little book, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. As you said earlier, brother, he's finishing God's work, right? Jesus Christ is born and now he's carrying out the Father's work on earth. He's perfecting the plan. Or finishing the plan. Amen. He said, trust in God. Trust also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. One version says, are many mansions. You know, there's an old song. I was born and raised in South Georgia. I was born extremely poor and raised that way. And I always heard about, just build me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. That sounded nice. But there isn't any cabins in glory. It's all mansions. The streets are made from pure, transparent gold. You're talking about abundance. I mean, my father and your father, if you're born again, our father is extremely wealthy. He has created a place for us to go to. When death happens or the rapture of the church, whatever happens first, we're going to be with Jesus. We often say, you know, our retirement's out of this world. And it is. So in the uncertainty of life, the certainty of death, there's also one other certainty we want to look at is, and that is the certainty of eternal life with Christ Jesus in heaven someday if we make him our Savior and then our Lord. Why our Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked that. You see, there's also a saying that says, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You ever heard that? Well, that's backwards. It's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying that, but he has to be your Savior first. Lord, the word Lord means boss, right? Well, if we make him, we can't make him Lord till he's our Savior. Once we make him our Savior, some people stop right there. Now, they're born again, okay? No question about that. But they stop short of making him the boss. In other words, let him call the shots. Just saying, Lord, I'm available. You call in for dispatch. I'm empty. Well, I guess now you got the thing in the truck to do it. I'm old-fashioned. We had to go find the phone. But whatever, we notify the company, we're empty, ready to go. You know what we ought to do every morning when we wake up or whatever time we wake up? Is say, God, I'm available. I'm ready to go. You've given me rest. Now with your new hours of service deal, you've got an excellent opportunity because you got time to get your rest, your sleep. And one, a fisherman told me this the other day, and I really appreciate what he said. He said it works great because one is he knows exactly where he's going to take hours. He got to do it. Well, he also plans getting up before time to leave and witnessing or sharing or just see what God wants him to do there. Just walk around. I mean, get some of these free tracts off the table, out of the chapel. Have some in your hand, in your pocket. You know, just walk around. It's not hard to start a conversation in a truck stop because everybody there is lonely. We all go through that, right? Miss our families back home. We're always looking for fellowship, looking for somebody to talk to and to listen to us. And you know what a ministry that is? Listening. Just listening. However, when somebody's talking to me and telling me what all's wrong in their life, I'm sitting there praying silently to myself, Lord, give me something to share with them. Give me a thought or something of hope for them. Again, they realize how uncertain everything is. Their life's in a turmoil. It's upside down. Things are wrong, etc. Uncertain life. We have the certainty of Jesus Christ in our life. And that's what that person needs. Right? There's a song that says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? I don't know how everything's going to work out, but I know it's going to work out for my good. So in John, let's go and read a little further. He said, in my Father's house there are many rooms or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What a promise. Jesus said, you're going to spend eternity with me. He said, you know the way to the place I'm going. Then old Thomas, doubting Thomas, verse 5, he spoke up. Sound like Joe Hunter sometimes. He said, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, here's a good one. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Notice that. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm an option. He said, I'm the way, the only way. No other religion, no other philosophy, no other nothing will get us to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one, say that with me, no one, say it again, no one comes to the Father except through me. The certainty is Jesus Christ has made a way possible for you and me to be born again and to live forever in heaven with him. You're going to live forever somewhere, by the way. A Christian comedian once said, we all have eternal life. He said, just a matter of where you're going to hang out. We're going to live in hell or heaven. One or the other. And there's no rest area between here and there. There is no stopping place between life and everlasting life in heaven or hell, one or the other. This young man that I mentioned earlier that died this week, 36 years old, picture of health. Probably the last thing on his mind when he went to work the other day was dying. Probably. And before that day was over, and according to what they said, a massive heart attack, so I would assume that it happened quick. Like that. He didn't have time to pray, did he? I don't know where he was a Christian or not. I didn't know him personally, but I'm just saying, if he wasn't, he never will be. Now, why does it say never will be? Because he was gone, just like that. Not a scare tactic, but just a point we need to look at. Turn over to page 243 with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, page 243 in the little book. Timothy was a kind of a protege of the Apostle Paul. Paul taught Timothy. Paul refers to Timothy sometimes as his son. It was a spiritual son, not a physical son, but a spiritual son. And here Timothy's writing in chapter 2, verse 11. And this is a quote, and he's saying from Numbers, by the way. He said, here's a trustworthy saying. Let's back up some. I don't want to start there. Let's start in 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is Timothy saying, this is my gospel for which I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. He said, let me share with you my gospel. Now, what does he mean by my gospel? He said, my story. What did we say earlier? That's the powerful message. Let me share my story. My story. You could tell drivers a lot about your journey from Nigeria to America, getting a family over here, you know. Say, you think it's bad, you're 2,000 miles from your wife, how far am I from mine? Right? But Christ sustains you, right? He gives you the ability, the power. See, what a powerful testimony that is. The old saying goes, you think you got trouble. But see, he's saying here, this is my gospel for which I'm even chained like a criminal. He said, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'm going through all of this so I can tell somebody about Jesus and eternal life. Then let's read 11. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. What does it mean, die with him? It means die to our flesh, right? We're going to have to die to our flesh if we're going to witness for anybody, to anybody. Because your flesh is going to say, just cool it, you know. Just cool it. Don't make waves, you know. That ain't what God said. In other words, again, now we're not going in with criticism and condemnation, but with a word of hope. A lot of times I've said with drivers over coffee or over a meal or whatever, sitting around trucked off on the weekend where you're laid over, whatever the case, or a shipping dock, loading dock, whatever, and they start, you know, let's just say use filthy jokes. And I can say something like, well, I used to relate to that too before I became born again. See, I got a chaplain shirt on and all that sort of thing, and I'm a preacher, quote unquote. They probably won't share that around me, but they will around you, right? Because you're a reacher, right? And God put you on that dock at that time, in that rest area at that time, in that truck stop at that time, whatever the case is, to share with that person, without any doubt. You got two options. You can either forget it and walk away, which will not cause you not to be a Christian, right? God's not going to kick you out of the family for that. However, you got the other option of sharing with that person whatever you say, be it little or a lot, and going away with a great joy in your heart. To me, I'd rather have the joy. I love it. That old guy on the A-team used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. God's plan. Amen? And don't get me wrong. I'm not very big in stature, as you can see. And he always picked the meanest, biggest person for me to witness to, seemed like. One time in New Mexico, I'll never forget, and I won't tell all these war stories, but this guy had to duck to come in the doors, literally. And the Lord told me, he walked over, sat at the counter at this little bitty truck stop where I used to go. I loaded at Clovis, New Mexico every Thursday for a long, long time, swinging meat. And of course, my trailer was over at the meat plant, and I'm sitting at the truck stop waiting. And this guy walked in, and he was one of those Westerners that had been burnt by the sun, so to speak. I mean, you know, just a crusty dude, you know, big. Come sit down at the counter, and I'm sitting over in the booth by myself, drinking coffee or whatever. Lord said, go over there and minister to him. I thought, ha, ha. No, he ain't bothering me. But I did. I walked over and I, you know, said, how's it going? And that started a conversation. As a result, I sat down on the counter next to him and we chatted for a few minutes and told him, you know, I don't know now, but my truck was sitting out there with Jesus is Lord on it and all that. And I said, you know, we said, you know, something about who you drive for. And I said, well, that's mine out there and blah, blah, blah. And nothing real spiritual. I did tell him I was a born-again Christian and how God had provided me my job, and I was thankful for that. And, you know, as prodigal son says, he said, I feel good when I feel bad. He said, at least I'm alive to feel bad. So I feel good because I'm alive to feel bad. In other words, thank God I'm here. But anyway, we can always find somebody to witness to. If we die with him, we'll live with him. Let's go on, verse 12. Here's the one I wanted to mention to you. 2 Timothy 2:12. Read that to me, brother.
If we endure, we will also
reign with him. If we endure. You know what that tells me when I read, if we endure? That means trouble's coming. Mm-hmm. He ain't talking about enduring good times, is he? He says that we die with him. We're going to live with him. Got to die with my flesh. He said, if I endure, that means trouble is coming. In other words, there's going to be an opportunity for you to witness, right? And it's probably going to be somebody that's not very pleasant sometime. But the only reason that person not very pleasant is they don't know Jesus. And it might be a Christian that's going through a hard time. It might be a brother in Christ that just needs a little encouragement. So it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Can we read that backwards? Say, if we don't endure, we won't? That's scary, isn't it? Just a thought. If we disown him, what will he do? He will disown us. We can't afford that. I can't afford for Jesus to disown me. Now, how do I disown him? By not acknowledging him. You follow me? If I don't acknowledge him in my life as witnessing, I've automatically disowned him. We think of Peter disowning him, right? 3 times before the rooster crowed, as Jesus said he was going to. And we think, how could Peter do that? Well, how do we do that? Again, you can't witness to everybody you walk by. But there's times and places God will give you the opportunity. Like sitting around all weekend here. Plenty of time. If we disown him, he will disown us. 13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now what does that mean? If we're faithless, which we're going to be sometimes, we're going to miss the mark sometimes. Amen? I don't know about you, but let me look at myself and say, sometimes I miss the mark. Sometimes I don't witness when I should. But he's going to remain faithful. In other words, all it takes for me is saying, Lord, I messed up, or something to that effect. I should have witnessed. I didn't. I shouldn't have acted the way I did. And he's even helped me out by causing me to have to go to the person and say, I didn't react like I should have. I'm sorry. A waitress, whatever. I'm having a hard time that day, and she comes over, or a person comes over to serve me. you know, coffee, whatever, and I don't react in love, I tell you what'll get you out of that habit is having to apologize. I don't know about you, I don't like to apologize. And the easy way not to apologize is don't do it to start with. Amen? But when we're faithless, He's faithful. Now, life is very uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We're here on Sunday morning at TA Truck Stop close to Atlanta, Georgia. Where will we be next Sunday? Who knows? We may have a general idea. Will we even be alive next Sunday? We'll be alive somewhere, either here or there. But today, I want to encourage you today, listening to tape or here in the room, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord, said it backwards again. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, if you've not made Him your Savior, I encourage you to do that today. And that's very, very easy to do. In fact, turn to page 272 in that Bible, close to the back, page 272. I want you to read something for me. I want you to read a passage. There you go, right about where your thumb is. It's verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. You see it down there where it said, if we confess? Would you read that verse for us, good and loud?
If we confess our sins,
mm-hmm.
He is faithful and just
mm-hmm.
to forgive us our sins
mm-hmm.
and purify us from all unrighteousness.
He will, if we confess our sins, we don't have to work for it, right? We don't have to earn it. We don't have to buy it. In fact, we can't do that. It's not for sale. If we only confess our sin, saying, I'm sorry for what I've done, or I'm sorry for what I hadn't done, in the part about witnessing. If I've not been the witness I should be, that kind of a thing, then He's promised what? He would forgive us of our sins. What did you read?
And purify
us. One version says, cleanse us. Make us clean. Make us whole again. Put the joy back in our life. I don't know about you, but I like joy. I like happiness. I like to be joyful. I would say happy, but happy comes and goes with emotion, so I'd rather use joy. Right? We can be joyous when everything's upside down, when we're right going through a crisis. And I could tell you about going through a crisis. Been there and done that, and going to some more. Why do I say I'm going to? Because as long as I witness for God, Satan's going to attack. Know that. Know that. One of the first things that got to Vietnam in March of 1967, and this old sergeant was over there, and he was a crusty old dude, you know. And we'd been in the Army probably a total of not even six months. I mean, just barely through training, right? And we thought we knew everything about everything by then. And he said this, I'll never forget, he said, some of you got those marksman badges that you wear on your uniform that you're so proud of. Back there in basic training, you shot that target and it fell down in the bushes. He said, these targets don't fall down. They're going to shoot back. And I thought about that. You know, think about it now. I'd never lived like that where somebody's actually going to shoot me. Think about it. I'm 19 years old. And all of a sudden I realized these people are going to kill me. They're actually trying to kill me. Think about it. That's a rude awakening. So I said that to say this. Understand, I don't want to paint you a picture of floating above trouble once you become a Christian, because that ain't true. I don't want to paint you a picture that if you go out and witness for God, everybody's going to like it, because that's not true. Sooner or later, somebody ain't going to like what you got to say. That might even threaten your life. I've been threatened more times than Carter's got peanuts, as they say around Georgia. But you know what? I know one is Psalms 91 said they can't do that. Did you know that? See, if we know who we are in Christ, Psalms 103 has what we call our benefit package listed. Psalm 91 is a Christian's assurance policy, I call it. He said in Psalm 91, for instance, he said, "For he will command his angels," God, "he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." In other words, he's got angels walking around me all the time, or flying, or whatever they do. They're here, protecting me at all times. Now, if I come at you and attack you spiritually, you know, just cutting you down, criticizing, and just trying to cause a riot, so to speak, God ain't in that. I'm on my own. But if he instructs me to share with you the love of God and tell you how much God loves you, etc., etc., he's going to protect me. I've seen that happen. I could give you illustrations all afternoon about that. Because I'm good? No. Because his word's true. Right? Remember we read a while ago, even when we are faithless, he is what? Faithful. Hebrews wrote and said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot fail. We need to get it in our mind that while life is so uncertain, and they sing all upside down, the world now today, so uncertain, one thing is for sure, one thing is really certain, is the Bible never changes. And he said, if we go out and be witnesses for him, basically, he'll back us up. And he's looking for a few good men, as the Marine Corps say, and women, and children, to take his gospel in all the world. Today, I don't know you personally. You don't know me. We may never see each other again this side of heaven. I don't know. We may be back together real soon. I don't know that. But one thing I do want to do is before we walk out that door today, I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, for listening to the tape today. One thing I would like to know is that I will definitely see you in heaven someday. If we're born again, if we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're assured of that. And if we are born again, then we'll be living according to His Word. We'll be living a Christian life every day. The uncertainty of life, the certainty of death, is nothing to fear when you're born again. Look forward to seeing you here, there, or in the air. Again, thank you for listening to the tape today. I pray it was a tremendous blessing to you. Call us with your comments, and if you're not 100% sure of your salvation today, please call the Trucker's Prayer Line on this tape and allow somebody to pray with you and share the scriptures with you and the promises of God. Thank you, and God bless.